Today, our text will be taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. You might remember that from, I think a couple of weeks ago, we looked at this, and I told you we'd come back to it. And so if you don't mind, if you're physically able, just stand up once more. I want to read these three verses, and then we'll spend just a few minutes trying to unpack them, and particularly zeroing in on this issue of understanding the will of God. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Amen. Father, we bow together in your presence, and we're so thankful that we have been brought into your family. We're so thankful that we have been born again, given life, and that more abundantly. We're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you have owned us as your own, and we are forever joined to you. Now, as we look to you to understand what you have recorded for us, Holy Spirit, we call upon you to meet us in the Scriptures. Lead us very carefully. Help us to apply them rightly to our lives. And then we trust you to give us grace to order our lives according to your will. Amen. Well, God bless you all, and you may be seated. Our subject today is understanding the will of God. Understanding the will of God. And you, as I said, you might remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you we circled back here and drill down a little bit further on it, because I do think it's such an important matter to understand the will of God. Now, what God requires of us, as you've seen right here, is that Christians make wise use of our time, right? God requires that we use our time wisely. What God does then is he gives each Christian opportunities, right? Opportunities to use your time wisely. He gives you opportunities to serve him at specific periods of time in your life. And so nothing happens randomly. Nothing happens inadvertently. God himself is providing opportunities for us to serve and obey. But when the opportunity is presented, the Christian has to take advantage of the opportunity. Right? It's no different than you're on your job or in some other activity, where you know that an opportunity is in front of you. But if you don't do anything about it, then that opportunity may eventually move on. Okay? For the Christian, this is one of the most gracious blessings that we have, is to know that God actually presents opportunities for us to take advantage of. Amen? Amen. Finally then, what I'm saying to you is that in order to take advantage of those opportunities, you have to know God's will. You have to know if this opportunity is even for me. I need to be discerning in life. And so knowing God's will is essential to taking advantage of opportunities as they are presented. And so today I want to do something very fundamental again, because we'll take maybe another week, maybe two. But I want to just take this in bite sizes, so this is not going to be a lot today. I want to define God's will, and I want to explain two aspects of God's will, and then we'll kind of park it there for this week, and then we'll pick it up there again next week, all right? Define God's will and explain aspects of his will. So let's start with defining God's will. Now, in order to do this, we have to talk about attributes of God. And what do I mean by that? Simply, the attributes of God is, what is God like? All right?
So this is going to be a little bit theological, but just stay with me, because I think it'll you have to kind of have this to move forward. Those of you who've never read a theological book, I would recommend this author right here, Wayne Grudem, G-R-U-D-E-M. He has a lot of works, but he particularly has a good work called Systematic Theology. And Systematic Theology lays out the theology of the Bible in systems, right? To takes these systems and works through all of the entire Bible. And Wayne Grudem and a number of other theologians are do a good job with this, Burkhoff and MacArthur and a number of other theologians. They categorize God's attributes into these two broad categories. The first one is called incommunicable. Now, basically, all that means is that God has attributes that you and I can't really relate to. All right? Obviously, being God, it has to be our mind is too small to relate to some things about Him. And so they're called incommunicable because there's not, you can't look at yourself and relate these attributes about God. Okay? So these incommunicable attributes are things like God's independence. Now, what does that mean? You and I can't relate to being self-sufficient. God is completely, absolutely, perfectly self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything or anybody. See, right? So that's incommunicable. You and I don't relate to that because we're needy. We're needy people. We can't relate to immutability. That basically means that God doesn't change. Never. He never has to change because He never errs. He never makes a mistake. He never has to pull back and regroup. You see? We can't relate to that because we do. Right? Our eternity. You know we can't relate to that because you and I had a beginning. You were born at some point in time, right? And you and I are living in time right now. Well, God has no beginning and what? And no ending. So He is the definition of eternity. There never was a beginning of God. There will never be an end of God. That's the reason He declares Himself as the I am. He always has existed. He always will exist. You see? So you and I, we can't relate to that. And I'll talk about this in a minute. So that's the challenge of trying to don't try to explain these attributes, because they're beyond our explanation. Omnipresence. There's no way you can relate to it. How can you relate to being everywhere at the same time? There's no way we can relate to things like this. So those are what we call the incommunicable attributes. Now the ones that we can relate to are then would be called communicable. Okay. These are the things that you and we can kind of look at ourselves and look at creation and say, oh, I can see some semblance of God's nature in that. Beginning with, Grudem lays them out, God's being. In other words, God is spiritual, right? God is spirit. Those who worship Him must what? Worship Him in spirit and truth. And so God is spirit. He's invisible. And so we can relate to being spirit and invisible. You and I don't see the Spirit well, we know that it exists and we experience it, okay? God's mental capabilities. God is, he's knowledgeable, right? He's wisdom. God is the source of wisdom, right? The Bible says that God is truthful or faithful. You and I can relate to that. The other one is pretty broad category. God is moral. We can relate to that because the Bible says God is good. He's kind, right? He's merciful. All of these kind of traits. God is righteous. And so those kind of traits begin to show some semblance in our life as a Christian. We can relate to what it means to be merciful and kind and these kind of things. The one that we're particularly interested in is this next one. God is one of His communicable attributes is that God has purpose. You see? That's where we find the will of God. It's under His purpose. And so that's what we're going to zero in on today and maybe next week. Is that you and I can relate in our personal lives what it means to have purpose. Right? You're here today because you have purpose. Right? You, You look forward to this afternoon because you have purpose. There's a reason. You got it? And so God's will, His freedom, His power, His omnipotence, that all falls under His purpose. And then the last category that Grudem gives, he just summarizes some of the remaining things like God's beauty and His glory. You see, those kind of things that you can't really put in any other category. So now, I told you that was a little bit technical and theological. I don't expect you, you don't need to go into any tizzy about that and go into any spasm and don't shell up and climb up on me, okay? I just want you to kind of have some perspective there as we move forward. And remember that that's the main thing we're concerned about. We're going to be talking about this attribute of God that deals with His purpose. Because it's right there that God calls upon us to understand, you see? So when we talk about understanding God's will, that's where it is. It's under His purpose. So I want to give, I called it a theological definition. I had one that I thought was pretty good, but it was so long. And I just thought, I don't know that it would have been helpful. So I want to go back to the simple definition that I gave you 2 weeks ago for the will of God. You remember last time I told you that God's will is basically His plan and purpose for everything and everyone that He's created, right? As you might remember back in Proverbs 16 and verse 4, it says that the Lord has created everything for its purpose. Remember that? Even the wicked, right? For the day, for the certain day. Revelation 4:11 says that we worship God, we honor God because we were created and we exist by His will, right? Now, it's really interesting. Some of you might remember, I think we've been working through Ephesians 1 in Bible study. But in Ephesians 1, there's a verse that begins to talk about predestination. But there's a phrase in Ephesians 1:5 that said this is according to the purpose of His will. Now you see how succinct that is? What God does is according to the purpose of His will. You get it? It's all kind of packaged there right together for you. God's will has purpose. You get it? According to the purpose of His will. And so that's a pretty simplistic definition, but I hope you can kind of get your minds around that because you're going to need that as I unpack just a little bit more today. We're not going to try to dig too deep, but we need to go a little bit deeper. God's will has two aspects. And if you've never heard this before, that's okay. I'll unpack it a little bit more next week. But there's two aspects to God's will that you need to know about. God's will, He has a secret aspect and an aspect that is revealed. Could you turn to Deuteronomy 29:29? This is a very important verse, and if you've never seen it before, would you just make note of it and then refer to it as we work our way through this for the next few weeks. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Now notice the last phrase, that we may do all the words of this law. You get it? Why does God give us His will so that we may obey? You see? You got the secret things that belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and generations. Why? So that we can obey them. And that's important. You got to keep that concept in mind. These are the two aspects of God's will. So as we move from this point, just keep that in mind, that this what we're looking at here, God expects us to understand because we can't understand his purpose, okay? But we also remember that there are certain aspects that are secret, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, all right? So, the last thing I want to do then is explain these aspects of God's will. Now remember what we just read. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. So let's begin by looking at the revealed will of God. Remember that from Deuteronomy 29:29? This aspect that he has revealed, he has made known. The revealed will of God involves God's commands and his precepts that he has made known to his creation. You get it? God has commanded certain things to be done. He's given certain principles and precepts that he has made known so that what he has created can obey his will. Now he makes it known. He uses human agencies at times. He uses people to represent him and speak for him. He uses scriptures, obviously. The word of God is recorded so that we can know the will of God, right? God sometimes deals with people directly. And there are many other ways, okay? But the fact is, God makes his revealed will known, right? So that creation then can order ourselves accordingly. God reveals his will to be obeyed. But here's the real mystery. Yet his will can be disobeyed. Now, if you don't see mercy in that, you're not thinking very good. God actually allows his creation to disobey him and doesn't destroy or wipe it out immediately. That's mercy.
Yes,
that's grace, okay? Now, I want to give you an example of this. Can you turn to Matthew 7? Verses 21 through 27. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 27. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Verse 22. "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Right? Now look at verse 24. Now notice what we just read. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will," you get it, "of my Father." Now you go down to verse 21. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Right? These are those who hear the will of God and who do it. But notice what happens in verse 26. "And everyone who hears these words of mine," they've heard God's will. But notice what he says. "And does not do them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now you see that? That mystery there. God gives two examples of where people hear. They both hear and know the will of God. One group obeys, and the other group what?
Disobeys.
You get it? You see the picture? Another example is found in 1 John 5:14, I believe it is. If we pray anything, what? According to his will, what? He hears us. You remember that? And I just I mentioned to you this issue about according to his. Let me read this one. This is really good. Turn to Ephesians 1.
good for you to put your eyes on these verses on occasion. Ephesians 1 and verse number 9. Notice how wonderful this, what Paul is doing here is he's unpacking some of the wonderful spiritual blessings that come with being a Christian. And then in verse 9 he says, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose. You see it? There it is again. God makes known to us the mystery of his will. We never would know it if what? If he didn't make it known to us. And the only reason he did it is because he had purpose. That's what you and I need to know. If God reveals something to you, it's because he has a purpose for it.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to get you to see. And it's my job to find out what the purpose is. Okay? I want to be lined up with God. That's the whole idea of understanding his will.
Amen.
God is doing something here. I need to understand what my part is so that I will be pleasing unto him. Because the best place for a Christian is to what? Please God. You get it? So that's really what I'm trying to communicate here. God reveals his will to be obeyed. But the fact is, there are many who disobey. Many who disobey. Now, the last piece of this I want to talk about then is the secret will, right? We've looked at the revealed will of God. Now I want to talk about the secret will, and then we'll just kind of package it all together and we'll be done for today. The secret will of God involves the hidden plans of God, the hidden purpose, the unrevealed plans and purposes of God that he uses to govern his universe. Okay? What do you mean by that, Bro Willie? I think that verse is wrong. I think that should have been Genesis 50, verse 20, I believe. You remember that was at the end of the situation with Joseph? Remember where we followed Joseph's life, and yes, he's in the prison, and then he's finally delivered, and the brothers come there. You remember that story, how he saves his family, and he saves Israel? And you get to verse 20, I believe it is, he tells his brothers, You intended this for evil, but what?
God.
You see? You had one plan, but God's will was for another. You get it? That's what I mean by the secret. They didn't know what God's will was. But God revealed that you may be doing a whole lot of wrong to somebody's life. But God's will is going to use that, you see, for their good. And he didn't tell you. Why? Because that's his plan. You don't need it. And that's a challenge for us. We want to know it all, but God says, no. There's certain things belong to me. That's the reason the Bible says what? Trust the Lord with what?
All
your heart. Don't lean to your understanding, because really you couldn't understand this even. That's what the Bible has to say to some of the prophets and others. You would not, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe some of what the Lord is doing here. Okay? So, and then 1 Corinthians 4, I believe 19 is where Paul is sharing with those in Corinth, saying that he was planning to come. Now, I hope to see you soon, if the Lord wills. Right? Which means, I know God wants me to go and serve. I just don't know if that's his will for me to come to you right now. You see it? And James says the same thing, right? He's writing to folks that are making all of these plans. Are you planning to go here and buy this thing and do that? And he says, what you ought to say is that if the Lord's will, I will go here and do that or buy this and that. Yes?
Yes.
And so here's what I want you to see. We get Christians who pray this way get a lot of criticism. When you humble yourself it's in your Bible. Well, why do you want to shy away from praying as the Bible prays? You don't know everything.
Right.
And this
You're doing more harm to go to people and pretend you know, and I'm going to get into this. You know, how are you going to know if God's going to raise everybody up from sickness? Mm-hmm. How can you say that? Mm-hmm. How can you say that he's going to break the cycle, deliver this person from this financial crisis? How do you know that?
Right.
Now, there are times that God reveals when he's going to heal someone. I'm not denying that. But to say that to everyone, like you know, you see the danger there? That belongs to the Lord. Who lives, who dies, you don't tell, who gets saved. You going around promising parents that if you do this and this and this, your children are going to be saved. How do you know that? You see the problem? So understanding the will of God means being sure about what's revealed, not assuming about that, not assuming on that which is not revealed. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be important as we move forward, because really in this area right here, the secret will of God, we find that out when it happens. Mm-hmm. You find out God's secret will when he does it. And you just have to be satisfied with that. Amen? Because he's God and we're not. And here's the other thing I want to say as I try to tie a bow around this, is that God neither owes nor gives an explanation for his secret will.
Amen.
You see, there are times that we deal with things going on in our life as if God has to tell us something. Now, we're just speaking straight now. Because when I say understand the will of God, I want us to be clear about what we need to understand. Okay? In Matthew 11, Jesus is there praying and says, "Thank you, Father, that you have hidden." Mm-hmm. You know, talking about the truth of the gospel. You've hidden it from some and reveal those who think more highly of themselves. You've hidden it from the high and the mighty, but you've revealed it to the babes. You see that? And so God doesn't have to give you an explanation for that. Why he saved some and not others. And I'm not, you see that's not speaking arrogantly. That's just keeping us in a place where we can function well. Mm-hmm. You see, you find yourself exasperated because you're in areas where you should not be. Mm-hmm. You see, you're over here rooting around in God's secret will, and you're wasting time. See, the whole point here is don't waste your time. You need to make the most of your time. And so if I'm going to make the most of my time, I don't need to be over here rooting around in God's secret will.
Amen.
I need to spend my time dealing with what I know.
Amen.
I struggle enough with what I know to do.
Amen.
But you see, that's human nature.
Yeah.
We like diversions. I want to get away from this thing here that I'm struggling with. Let me go try something new. Even though I'm not doing a good job over here with what I know, let me go dig up. And so let me go start speculating. You see the problem there? Mm-hmm. That's what I want you to see. This is important. If you're going to understand God's will, you need to know what you should be understanding.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you following me?
Yes.
The only reason I'm spending this time with
you. Yes.
You know, there's a situation in Romans 9, and again, I won't just quote it. This is turn it so you can put your eyes on it. This gives a lot of people trouble, but I want you to look at it and think it through and see why this would fall under God's secret will. Romans 9, beginning at verse 10, where Paul is beginning to be describing God's choice, talking about how God dealt with Sarah as Jacob and Esau was about to be born. Verse 10 says, "And not only so, but also when Rebecca had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's, what's the word?
Purpose
of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Now that gives some, that people get all kinds of, that causes all kinds of struggle inside people, conviction inside of people. How God can say he loved one and hated the other before they were ever born, before they ever did anything good or bad. How can God do that? How can that be just? That's not for you to, come on. You call it God on the carpet? You say that's what, you don't think of it that way. But I've had people come to me. Well, you tell me how this is just. I'm not going to tell you anything about that. I'm going to tell you what it says. See, that's God's what? Sacred will.
Yes.
He doesn't owe me or you or anybody else any explanation. All that I can say is that he's right. He's just. I can say what the Bible says about him.
Right.
He's good. Yes?
Yes.
And so you see, that's the challenge, is to know where I need to spend my time. You don't need to spend your time trying to reconcile this. Election is God's doing. And that's the reason when you talk to people, you don't know who's elected and who's not elected. So you don't deal with someone just because you don't want to talk to someone. That might be the one that God has elected. He doesn't send people around with a little E or whatever on it. You don't know. He saves from the uttermost to the uttermost.
Yeah.
That's how I got it.
Yeah, too.
God comes to the God.
Man, absolutely.
Get people like me. And if you're honest, you've had some gutter in your life too.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes?
Yes.
Thank God that he visits the gutter.
Yeah.
Yes.
And no, I definitely didn't look like I had a little E on me anywhere. Is it? God's secret room. And yet I'm sure I got people. The question is whether I'm saved or if I'm in. Or you got it too, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Question all you want. That's, you can take that up with God. You see the problem?
Mm-hmm.
So, what's your point, Brother Willie? Don't spend your time here. That's my point. Christian. Don't spend your time trying to reconcile God's secret will. That's his business. So when the Bible says understand the will of God, it's not talking about these kinds of things. We're together?
Amen.
You know, I thought about? Thanksgiving is coming up Thursday, right? The men might tell you that this past Thursday, I forgot it. So, I was getting ready to schedule a meeting on Thursday, but thank God I reminded that Thanksgiving is coming up Thursday. Now, we're all going to have celebrations, right? And let's think about it. In most cases, I won't say in everyone, but in most cases, there's going to be more food there than you can eat.
That's right.
Yes? Yes?
Yes.
Now, in some cases, people are going to have recipes there that they ain't going to give you. You can ask all you want. You're not going to get them all. There's something secret going on there. You may want it all you want, but you're not getting it. There are going to be people there that you don't necessarily... you're going to enjoy some of the people and things, but they're going to be people not so much. Right? Now, all those things are true, but you can still leave that celebration full and having enjoyed yourself. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't get those things reconciled, right? You can leave there without that recipe and having enjoyed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's your point, Brother Billy? I'm saying it's the same with God. You can enjoy God and not have all your questions answered.
Amen.
Because, as Jesus told the disciples, some of the things you want to know, you can't have.
Wow. Right.
Yes?
Yes.
We already know that. And so he's a good father. Just as anybody here that's raised children, you know it's the same thing. Your children think they can handle a whole lot more than they can. And so you've got to know how much to measure out to them. Now, if you are that wise, certainly God knows how to raise his children. Yes? So just keep that in mind that we've got these two aspects of God's will, and you really need to know which one you're dealing with if you're going to make the most of your time. We have been exhorted, my brothers, my sisters, and commanded actually to understand what the will of the Lord is, right? We know that this cannot refer to the secret will of God. Hopefully I've convinced you of that by now. Since God has not revealed it to us. Therefore, we should not waste our time attempting to figure out things that God himself has kept hidden, kept secret for himself. We must spend our time and make the most of every opportunity to understand the will of God that has been revealed to us. That's what I've been trying to prove to you these few minutes. God may reveal his will through many resources. I've already said he could use a person, right? Or God may reveal his will through something supernatural or someone supernatural. The Bible says we visited angels on the way. God can use circumstances. You ever had that? To reveal his will. Sometimes you can be knocking on a door that God doesn't plan to open. And he will show you, will he? Move on. Mm-hmm. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, right? He prayed about it. He assumed that if I could just get rid of this thorn, I'd be the greatest Christian. But Jesus said, no, you got it wrong, Paul. You need that thorn. You see that? That's God's secret will. He didn't know that until God what? Revealed. Now this is the case where God chose to reveal something that Paul didn't know. But now, after he understood God's will, what did he say? Well, then I'll gladly. I'll rejoice. My afflictions, my slander, all the things that have been. Because when I am weak, I assume that's when I'm strong, I'm strong. God said, no, you got it all twisted, Paul. It's not when you're strong, it's when you're weak that you're strong. Get it? That's understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, you can spend all, you think of this wrestling. I got to get rid of this thing. I got to figure out how to do it. You see, pretend you're praying. You know, pretend you're praying, then you go try to get rid of the thorn. Go back and pretend you're praying, then you're going to try to get rid of the scissors. So if you get in that cycle, you're over here in God's secret will. You're not going to solve anything. But if you're going to pray about it, stay over here in what you know and wait for God to answer you. Don't pray and then go try to, you know, use prayer to kind of cover up what you want to do.
Right.
I'm going to fix this thing. You know how we do. I know how to get this out of my, you know, I know how to rectify this. Now I'm covering it with prayer. I'm faking it, if you will, with prayer. But actually, I got a plan. That's not God's will, you see. I'm not even seeking God's will. And God lets you run through that thing until you get ready to seek his will. Because we'll get to this next week, but the Bible says it's to the one that's willing to do it. That will know. God's not going to reveal his will to you if you ain't going to do it. See, that's a good father. You understand?
It is foolish to disregard God's will or not to understand God's will. That's what the Bible says. That's what it says. Do not be foolish, but understand the will of God. You see? So the implication there is what? It's foolish not to understand the will of God. So the Bible says, Willie, don't be foolish. Understand God's will. But God calls upon us
upon the Christian to be wise. Wise in understanding God's will and wise in obeying God's will. So just got a few questions as we close. Are you, would you say that you are living wisely today, right now? If you were to respond to these three verses that says to you, live as the wise and not the unwise, would you say, as you speak to God, Lord, I'm living wisely. You ain't got to say nothing to me. That's between you and the Lord. Can you say with confidence that you know God's life for your will, God's will, excuse me, for your life right now? Do you know God's will for your life right now? And so you know my follow-up question. Are you doing God's will for your life right now? I don't need any answer. That's between you and the Lord. I'm just saying, from what you've seen God present to us, not me, not what I present, what you've seen God present to us in these verses, hopefully you see the importance of knowing and doing God's will. And my question to you is, are you doing that? Are you spending time knowing? And are you spending your time doing? Can you say with confidence that you are not living foolishly, but rather you are living as a wise Christian, making the most of your time and preparing for eternity in heaven? Can you say that with earnestness, honestness, and confidence? That's the reason I spent these few minutes together. I want you to think about it. It's too important for you to keep wasting time. You could come here every Sunday and be wasting time. Come here every Wednesday and be wasting time. Come to every other meeting and be wasting time. You see? And I'd be an unfaithful pastor to not challenge you on that. And if you're not a Christian, I'm inviting you to stop wasting time too. You're not even living if you're not a Christian. I know you didn't want to hear that. You haven't even begun to live if you're not a Christian. But Jesus says, come to me, right? All who labor, who are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, right? Learn from me. Find rest for your soul. You could come into the place of wisdom today if you're not a Christian. Don't keep procrastinating. Don't keep bouncing back and forth. Just come on in. It's good. It's good. Lord, we thank you for your favor and grace in our lives. Thank you for mercy that in every way has met us at our lowest points. Thank you for loving us enough to reveal your will, and thank you for wonderfully making provision for your will to be known. Forgive us for the times that we've known and did not obey. Forgive us for the times that we didn't even seek you to know and still did not obey. And help us today to find ourselves simply surrendered, yielded, and ready to hear and obey what you say. In Jesus' name. Amen.